ولآله وصحبه أجمعين، اللهم ينفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يكرم يا رب العالمين. اللهم نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء لكل داء، آمين يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May Allah bless you all for waiting for me. I apologize for coming a little late. And I apologize for canceling last week. My voice wasn't really good. I wouldn't be able to speak for a very long time. It wasn't COVID, just the normal sickness now everyone's getting now, I think. And when you have kids, it's the worst. They just come up to you and they cough right on you. They don't care. And then next thing you know, the whole house is sick. But that's part of the barakah of the family. Alhamdulillah, good to see Amir, mashallah. May Allah bless you. Glad to see you here. So we're continuing on the day of resurrection, the day of judgment, whatever you want to call it, going over all the details of it. And the last thing that we're kind of going over was on the intercession of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for different people, and how do we understand that? And I'm going over how the hisab or the reckoning or the accountability will which we haven't gone over yet, is the hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Use the word cistern in the books as they try to translate, but most people don't know what the word cistern means. Also, that's a problem. So cistern is a very not old English, but it's an old thing that people would use to hold drain, like storm drain water, underneath the ground to use to drink. If anyone have been to Istanbul before, they have one right next to the Blue Mosque, right across the street. It's kind of cool. You go underneath and you can see that they still have water there, actually, I believe, but I don't know if they really use it. It's more just a sightseeing thing. So so basically, it's a basin of water that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have. And then we have the bridge or the sirat that we use in Arabic. We'll talk about that. Number three, we'll talk about seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Day of Judgment. We kind of alluded to this earlier, but we'll kind of talk about exactly how is that going to be done. And there's also seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah, right? And so that is another bonus for the believers and those who make it to Jannah. And what the difference between the two? The review, unfortunately, I don't think I'll get to it today. I want to do it properly, where we kind of go over, there's so many things that happen on the Day of Judgment. So we're kind of a little bit confused of what happened. We talk about a lot of things and we have some breaks to go how the judgment will start and what's happening, all in order to give us a little bit more of a better picture, inshallah ta'ala. So the hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the hadith mentions this in multiple places, and it's also mentioned in the Quran. When the Quran is mentioned that the Prophet will have a basin of water on the Day of Judgment, it's a small surah. It kind of alludes to it. Al-Kawthar, very good. Right there, there you go. Somewhere there it says it. Yeah, we'll kind of give it away. But so Surah Kawthar. But Kawthar is actually the river, not the name of the hawd. Hawd is actually what we're talking about, which we call a cistern or the basin of water. In Arabic, they use that to mean a sink. That's called a hawd. Water, and they're gonna have a great smell, if you will. But the Prophet said that this drinking basin of water that he has will be of this type of category. Now, why would the Prophet have a basin of water? What does it have to do with anything on the Day of Judgment? Well, we kind of talked about already in multiple places how the sun will be very come down on people. People will be sweating, and we all know when you're really nervous and frantic, people just want to drink water. Like, I don't know, it's like almost a habit, just to come and cool yourself down, to calm yourself down. You know, when someone's like, you know, hurt on the ground, here, just drink some water. Well, they're not thirsty, they cut their leg. But they just do it, just kind of thing to calm yourself down. So the Prophet ﷺ will have this after, it said that this will come after the accountability takes place. So after the accountability takes place, everyone's kind of nervous, obviously. Your accountability says that you're going to go to Jannah. Alhamdulillah, people kind of know that already. So people obviously want to kind of, not necessarily celebrate, but, you know, kind of like a relief. And they will come to this area called the cistern or the hawd, and they'll get to drink from there. And then those who are less nervous, maybe their judgment is going to be something else, would also come and drink from that. We'll get into that details in a little bit. Maybe kind of a little confusing. Its water will come from the rivers of Kawthar, the river of Kawthar, one river, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a special river in Jannah that flows into this thing. Now you say, how does that work? Well, you have to understand Jannah and Jahannam will be brought on the Day of Judgment. So they're like almost like floating entities, if you will. Whether they're physically floating or not, I mean, we can figure that out later on. But they're brought on the Day of Judgment. So either that it's a river that's coming out of Jannah and falling into this big pool of water, then that's something to, you know, we kind of understand. So it makes sense that it's going to be whiter than milk and sweeter than honey, because those are how the rivers are going to be in Jannah. So you can see the connection between the two. Okay, so this is how it's going to happen here. And now who's going to be able to drink from it? That's the next question. So there's a lot of hadith on this, and I kind of just put them here and we'll discuss them. Number one, the Prophet said the vastness of the distance of his hawd will between Sana'a and Medina. Medina, we all know Medina in Mecca, I mean in Saudi Arabia, above Mecca. Like a kiddie pool or something like that, or a pool in your backyard. This is like almost like a sea to extent, right? And the Prophet ﷺ also said that, you're stepping on the cord or something. The Prophet ﷺ said that, he said that, I will be there at the cistern before you. Okay. This goes into another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ, someone asks the Prophet ﷺ in another hadith, how should we find you on the Day of Judgment? Because wherever the Prophet is, that's probably the best place to be, because you'd probably be protected and you'd be saved. Everyone wants to go with somebody that kind of knows what's going on, almost like a tour guide. You know, like, please help me. What's going to happen? And the Prophet ﷺ said, if on the Day of Judgment you will find me at the hawd, at the cistern of water. And then he said, if you don't find me there, find me at the sirat, the bridge, right? And give different places that what he would be at, so people could look and try to find him. So he's saying that he will be there before you, waiting for you there. Okay. But look, there's another hadith here that's mentioned at the bottom here that he says, I swear by him whose my hand is my life, I will drive away people from this basin of water as people are driven away from unknown camels from a pool of water. So well, the Prophet ﷺ continues. He says, they said, O Messenger of Allah, would you recognize us? Right? How would you know who to drive away and who to let through? He said, yes, you will come to me with white faces and white hands and white feet on according to your wudu. We went over this hadith, I think, before, right? And none but of you would have this mark. Right? So he will know who the true believers are. Can you think about somebody who's not a disbeliever on that day? They're like, water, oh gosh, let me go get it. Right? But they'll be like, no, you're pushed away. This is not for you on that day. Right? Imagine they being pushed away, subhanAllah, may Allah not make us of those people, but make us of those that will be able to come, and the Prophet ﷺ will let us in, if you will. Also, the Prophet ﷺ mentions here that some of my companions will come to me at the lake, the hawd, the cistern, and I will recognize them. They will be taken away from me. So this is a different one now. So some people will be driven away, and some people would come. And the Prophet will say, hey, my brothers, right? My believers, my followers. But then some people will take them away. Angels or whatever will be taken away. Whereupon I will say, oh, my companions. They're my companions. Like, they're my followers. They will be said to the Prophet, you do not know what they innovated new things in your religion after you. So, like, subhanAllah, even the Prophet will be kind of faked out, if you will. He will think that that's them. Right, his believers, right? They make it out. They make it through the whole crowd, and then they'll be plucked away because they end up doing innovation and they did other things after the Prophet ﷺ passed away. And some people take this hadith and they try to find what group of people this is. Because the main thing is the Prophet ﷺ says companions. Okay, he didn't say my brothers. So some people are really in depth with this hadith here. It means sahaba. to mean that there is some sort of sahaba that have created innovation, so then there must be a righteous group and a wrong group after the Prophet passed away. Now, if you guys know the history after the Prophet passed away, we know that there was major splitting of the Ummah, especially at the time of Uthman, radiallahu anhu. Unfortunately, he was assassinated, and then you have Ali, radiallahu anhu, and then you have like really two camps that started, if you will. And there were companions in both. So some groups say like, look at this. This is the one. There was only one true group, if you will. Some people say, no, the Prophet just sent companions, meaning just like his followers. It was just a regular term. Don't get into the details here, right? Just mean the regular term of my followers, and some of them will be put away because they innovated. And people still innovate it today. So if you think about it, it wasn't something special during the time of the Prophet. So innovation is something that unfortunately keeps on going on today, if you will. All right. So that is the hadith about the details of the Hawd and this pool of water that the Prophet ﷺ will have. And that's pretty much all the details we have of it. And like I said, it will happen right after the accountability will take place and before the passing of the Sirat. And that's the next step. That's the next topic we'll go over. The bridge. Okay. So this bridge called the Sirat. You know, we say in Surah Fatiha, Sirat al-Mustaqim. That's not talking about the bridge, but it's talking about the word Sirat. And literally means path, if you will, right? Or a way. Allah guide us the right way. But it is used in hadith literature and other things about talking about this bridge that will be over Jahannam. Okay? It'll be over Jahannam. And it'll, as the Prophet mentioned in other hadith, that it'll be thinner than a hair, sharper than a knife, and there'll be hooks and thorns on it. And when you read a description like that, you're probably thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Like, okay, no one's going to pass. That's not, you know, that's worse than a, you know, tightrope walker. You know what I mean? This is like smaller than a hair. You can't, there's no physical way that you could actually step on something like that. And there was a group of people called the Mu'tazila. They came like after the Prophet passed away for many years after, and they're called the rationalists. So anything that they couldn't comprehend, they took it as a metaphor. Because it's good, I guess, it's not possible. So they said, there's no bridge. There's no physical bridge. It's just talking about hardship on the Day of Judgment. We say, no, that's a disbelief. Where we say that it is a physical bridge, but it's the way the Prophet said, when you get there, you'll see it. But maybe someone's saying that it's going to be sharper than a knife and thinner than hair. It's talking about the difficulty. There's going to be a physical bridge, but the difficulty of getting over it. That's probably what the Prophet was talking about. There's kind of different opinions of understanding what it means by thinner than a hair and sharper than a knife. Hooks, I think we all can understand how hooks could be on something. So when the people are finished with their accountability, and it is well known 100% that this group, you're going to go to Jahannam, this group, you're going to Jannah, okay? So people already know what their faith is, right? It's stamped on their passport. They know where they're going. So when people are finished with accountability, they'll be ushered in darkness. The Prophet said that after accountability, people will be in darkness in front of the bridge, okay? And so everyone will be there, but the disbelievers, right, will be the ones that will be ushered into Jahannam. So they say, no, you're not going this way. You're actually going to be walking this way. And you're going to be pushed into Jahannam. And they'll go there, if you will. Okay?
So the disbelievers, do they even attempt like crossing at all?
No, they don't come close to it. Oh, okay. So it's going to say, I don't think I put the verses here. Let me see if I can get back to that. But no, so they won't be able to even come close to it. And you're going to see why. The first thing will be done is, and I think I say it right here, crossing sword only for the believers. And so the crossing of the sword is only for the believers. Now, that means the true believers and the hypocrites, the munafiqun. The munafiqun, we're about to say, we're about to take care of them in a bit right now. They're going to get filtered out, and you're going to see how they're going to get filtered out. But all the other nations will not cross it, but they'll enter Jahannam. Now, I might have to bring up that. Just answer Brother Amir's question, because I don't think I put this on my own slide. I'll open my notes. You can see my secret document here. But anyway. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, there's a bunch of verses on it. The gathering of the Quran. So it will be say here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسِيقُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمْ زُمَرًا. So the disbelievers will be driven to hell in groups. So this means after the judgment, then they will come there, but they'll be pushed into Jahannam. Okay? That day they'll be thrusted into the fire of hell irresistibly, right? And there's another verse here which is kind of SubhanAllah, it's really interesting here. That said, those who are gathered, those who are going to Jahannam, those are the ones who will be gathered on their faces to Jahannam, they're the worst in position and the farthest astray. So to even just humiliate them more, Allah will put them on their faces, right? And they won't walk on their feet. The face is the most honored thing of a person, right? We all know that people like to make sure their face looks nice and beautiful, right? So Allah will make them put on their, be dragged on their faces into Jahannam. So the companions, they said, Ya Rasulullah, how could people walk on their faces? Just like me and you, what we think, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who is powerful to make them walk on their feet, not powerful enough to make them crawl on their faces on the Day of Judgment, right? They tell them, like, you know, this is not something that's hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a disgrace. And, you know, we're going to get into Jahannam, inshallah, next week. We're going to start with Jahannam and then we're going to end with Jannah. I think everyone will appreciate that, inshallah, ta'ala, right? You want to end on a good note. So we'll go to a lot of the details about a Jahannam and a lot of the punishments. A lot of us are going to cringe and be like, oh my gosh, you know. And one of the scholars said, you know, that if you really know the details about Jahannam, you wouldn't want your worst enemy to enter. Because even though how much you hate that person, whatever they did, but when you read about Jahannam, you're like, oh, I mean, this, you know, hit him with a stick. Right? Jahannam is something else, right? And there's a lot of Muslims that have issues with Jahannam, because you see, like, there's some verses in the Quran talk about how Allah will, people will burn people's skin off, and then skin will grow back again, and then it'll burn that again. And people are like, what kind of torture and, like, you know, thing is that? You know, that's just something that's, you know, where's the mercy in that? Well, you have to understand that we all know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. We have 100 million examples to kind of prove that. One of the scholars, the way that they mention is that the greater the crime you do to a person, the greater the person, the harder the punishment, right? So for example, if someone comes and steals from my pocket or William's pocket, you know, we slap them on the hand, hold them down. What are you doing, right? We push them out, get out of here. You steal from, you know, Dr. Siddiqui or someone, like, hey, man, that's our imam. You don't do something like that. We might hold him. We might call the police now. Someone steals from the masjid, gets a little bit bigger. Someone steals from the government, right? Doesn't pay their taxes or doesn't, you know, rob the bank. You're in prison, right? And if you go higher, you steal from a king, you're probably gone. They're probably, you know, back in the days, you know, whatever, they'll, you know, cut off your head or whatever you're going to do, right? Now, the higher the crime to the greater to the person, the harder the punishment. So imagine, forget about a king. How about the atrocity that someone does to the king of all kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What should be the punishment there? If me and you, if they steal from us, we slap them on the hand, we call the police, government, we put them in prison. But from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is there a great enough prison? How many years? How do we know, right? So the greater the crime to the greatest of the person, then, or the entity, the greater the punishment. So it makes that sense, if you will, right? And so we'll talk a little bit about this, because a lot of people have a little bit issues here. I kind of alluded to it because the drag on the face, and people are like, oh, come on, you know, a little bit too harsh. But somebody might say that. Maybe you guys won't say that. I don't know. But anyhow, so this is how this group of people will be brought into Jahannam, right? The nations here. And they said, when they see the hellfire from a distant place, they will hear its fury and roaring. Like, subhanAllah, they'll hear the noise of it. And then they'll be pushed into it, if you will. They'll go into it, okay? And there's a lot of other things here that I kind of go. So I kind of need to renew my subscription. One of these days. All right. So each nation, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, I mentioned hadith also, in many places, that each nation will bring their false gods in front of them and say, follow your false gods. This is what you worship. Here you go. Go ahead. And enter your false gods into Jahannam. So even though they know from their deeds that, oh my gosh, look how terrible a person I am, I'm going to go to Jahannam, to spite them a little bit more because they follow this person, whatever, this statue, this whatever it was, that will come in an image as a real entity, however that's going to work out. Now follow that entity into Jahannam. It will lead them in there, if you will. Okay? So everyone will go into it. And it comes from a verse here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to Fir'aun, or speaks about Fir'aun, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he, Fir'aun, will precede his people on the day of judgment and lead them into the fire. Wretched is the place that they are led. course, people used to worship Pharaoh. We all know the story of Musa and Islam. But he said, I'm your Lord. Well, okay, well, there you go. For all you guys who worshiped him and you guys believed in it, then here you guys go. Follow him, if you will. So every nation would be led into that. They'll be asked to follow. Started worshiping me. So how would people do that? Would people follow him into Jahannam? Of course not. He's not. Take that as their image and they will walk into, they'll go into Jahannam, or as I mentioned, they'll be thrust and pushed in there, if you will.
Okay. So the Jews then.
So the Jews are very good, right? So in the hadith, there's a lot of hadith talk about this. They talk about those who worship Uzair. It's been a lot of mentions in the Quran. There's a person named Uzair that they worshipped. If you go to any Jew today and say, well, you guys worship Uzair, they're like, who are you talking about? Most of them don't. But there was a group that did that, and it's kind of hard to find out when that group lived and who were they. But the Orthodox Jews, like we kind of know today, they don't worship an entity, right? They don't worship another prophet. They just, you know, they're waiting for their Messiah, if you will. Now, will they follow the Dajjal in when he comes on the Day of Judgment? Because a lot of them are going to follow him. But I don't know if they take him as their God, right? Maybe metaphorically, you could make that argument. But yeah, they don't necessarily have someone that they don't worship. Their big error is what? They just didn't accept the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, they probably do a lot of other things unless we follow the rules of the Torah, etc. They do a lot of other things, you know. What exactly, who else are they going to follow? Allahu alam. I have not stepped over anything that mentions that. That's a good question in terms of them, right? And then here, the believers, the Muslims, let me just see, I thought I went a little bit fast here. The Muslims will be left in front of Sirat, the true believers and the hypocrites. And they'll be waiting for their Lord. But every group would come and they'll follow their false gods. So the Muslims we're waiting for Allah to come. And it goes into this topic of where we're going to see Allah or not. Okay. And so the believers will be waiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to appear so they could follow him, inshallah ta'ala, into Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions here in this hadith, which says, this ummah of mine, Islam, alone will be left behind. All the other groups got pushed into Jahannam. Okay, they go into different doors of Jahannam, and then, you know, they're in their punishment. And there will be the hypocrites amongst them. So now we have Muslims, but we know there's some iffy people in front of them. Okay. Allah would come to them in the form other than his own form. So whatever that is, it's the shape of a person, whatever it is, Allahu Alam, right? Recognizable to them. So the Muslims will see that. They're waiting for Allah to come. But they'll see an image of somebody and they'll say, I am your Lord. They're like, no, you're not my Lord. Allah is our Lord. Even on that moment, they still have their tawheed. They're like, no, we don't recognize you. Right? They will say, we take refuge with Allah from thee. We got this far. We're not going to worship anything else right now. We're waiting for our Lord. They will stand there until till their Lord comes to them, true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to them. And when our Lord would come to us, we would recognize him. So we say, no, we'll recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's weird. We'll have some ability to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subsequently, Allah would come to them in his own form. So Allah would come in his true form. Now, what is that exactly? We'll talk about it in a bit. Recognizable to them. So people are like, no, that is Allah. Right? So Allah not only was testing them, but it came to him in a different form. Then he'll say, I am your Lord. Then they'll say, ah, you are Allah. Right? And they will follow him to the sirat or to the bridge, if you will. Okay. Now, especially the word true. The true believers will be able to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a verse in the Quran that talks about the hypocrites won't be able to make sujood, right? Allah, they won't be able to make sujood on the day of judgment because of their, you know, their hypocrisy, right? So one way that Allah will come and he'll say, our true believers and people, all of us, what have we done in this world? We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first time ever in his true form, what are we going to do? We're just going to drop, right? Make sujood. Is this the way? That's how we know. But the hypocrites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and I don't have the verse here, that said that they will not be able to do so. In the hadith, it mentions that their spinal bone will become super firm where they cannot bend. And those are the ones that will be plucked out. So now there's even filtering now before we even get to the sirat, right? And we're actually the crossing of the sirat, if you will. Now, how do we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Okay. The orthodox belief of the Muslims, of Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah, the orthodox group of the Muslims, is to say that we believe in the hadith that we will see Allah because the Prophet said so. How we will see it, we'll leave it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say bidun kayfiyah in Arabic, without modality. We don't talk about the modality of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look. Why is that for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that laysa kamithlihi shay wa huwa samiul basir. There is nothing unlike Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing like him. Plasma, big light, out of whatever you want to. Recognize him. That's something may Allah put in our hearts and our senses that we'll know that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And it goes a little bit further that we don't even say Allah is in a certain direction, etc. We say we'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without modality, with any type of shape. And this gets a little bit deeper because groups after the Prophet passed away, they got into these arguments and it was sort of really, and I think I alluded this to you guys earlier, a couple of weeks ago. They got into this and the group sort of separated on this whole thing about how do we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People got really into details. Because if you say that, you know, we're going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this way, what does that mean? Allah is not this way. So Allah has direction. And also what's problematic is that our eyes could comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that he has a shape now. And he's only smaller than what our eyes could see. Right? But that becomes problematic. Now you made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a only this big, right? Or however your eyes, only this big. So that becomes problematic too. Because now you're making Allah into a shape. That he's only, and some of you guys are saying, what the heck are you talking about? But this is what people got into. So the best thing they said is that we said the Orthodox Islam, we say that, you know what? We don't go into the details of exactly how we're going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know the Prophet told us so. The Quran has also mentioned details on that we'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we will do it, we'll leave it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever that is, we'll figure it out when we get there. Right? Other groups said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be this shape and it will be this. And people made takfir and say you're not Muslim because you're making Allah into like a person, into a shape in which Allah is not. And so then people are really, really detailed on that. We're not going to call anyone non-Muslims because of this. We're just going to leave it at that. So anyhow, nonetheless, we're going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, in a way that it's recognizable to us, as the Prophet mentions there. Nonetheless, it'll be a spectacular view. Believe me, you're going to be happy. Everyone will be joyous and elated to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I might as well just talk about this topic also. Will we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the judgment time, right, when our deeds are going over? Or is it just a big voice in the sky saying, why did you do this? Why did you do that? So there's other hadith that mentions that the believers will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the judgment. The non-believers will not be able to see. It's almost like a voice that's being talked about them, but they're not able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, they'll abide to it because they understand what's going on in that day, right? They know it's not some random voice. Over those details. Okay. So here now we have the hypocrites that couldn't make prostration, and we have the true believers. What's the next step in this whole process here? Well, we have this thing called the distribution of light, or nur. People will have nur. Okay. Remember, the Prophet said that after the stage of accountability, you'll be in darkness in front of the sirat. And then those who are disbelievers, they go into Jahannam. into the different doors of Jahannam. Muslims are there. Now we know who the hypocrites or who the believers are. Now the hypocrites, how will they even be further distinguished is about the nur that they will get. Okay. So the nur that me and you, inshallah ta'ala, and everyone else will get at that moment will be according to our belief and our deeds. So subhanAllah, if you're going to go on this bridge that's sharper than a sword and thinner than a hair, you want to see as much as you can. Right? And that's what's going to help you here. So in this verse in Surah Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that same day, on the day of judgment, the hypocrites, al-munafiqun wa munafiqat, the hypocrite man and woman would say to those who believe, wait for us. And they're like, we can't see anything. And they see other people who have light. So like, where are you guys going? Wait for us. We may acquire some of your light, guide us, you know. You're trying to get some help here. It'll be said to them, go back and seek light. Go find your light somewhere else. Like, you know, go get it. Right? Why don't you have your own light? And a wall will be placed between them with a door. The interior of it will be mercy for the ones that have light. And outside will be a torment for those of the munafiqun. So now the munafiqun, they're locked out. They say, go back, they go back. They don't think they really get tricked or anything. But they go back and boom, a door shuts down on them. And they're like, you know, they're in a dark room. They don't know where to go. So they're not going to get anything. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentions here that every person, whether a hypocrite or believer, will be endowed with light. So they'll get something. And there'll be spikes and hooks on the bridge of hell. You'll see it all. That will catch and hold those who Allah willed. Then light of the hypocrites will be extinguished. Okay. And the believers will be secure in salvation. It's like, you know, they're walking on the Sirat, they got a little bit of light, and then someone just took off the light on them. You all know, you've probably seen enough movies, you know, they're like, where do we go? What do we do? And they're stuck, and they're trying to go across, and then there's hooks and these things or spikes, or some of them will fall into Jahannam. Okay, let's see, what do I have here? So some will fall into Jahannam and go there too. Now those that fall into Jahannam, even though they're hypocrites will obviously see that there's a difference between those who are hypocrites and those who are just really bad, sinful Muslims. Okay. They have belief in Allah. Alhamdulillah, yani, they didn't worship Jesus or anyone else in their life, but they barely prayed, they backbited, they stole, whatever they did. But they know there's only one God. So they're with that group. Technically, that group has the true believers, mashallah. Then you have those who are the sinful Muslims, and then you have the hypocrites. Hypocrites right here, we talked about, they don't have light or anything. The hypocrites are the ones that are going to be dragged also into, from these hooks and these other spikes. Right, but at least they still have Tawheed. But they just weren't really, you know, practicing, if you will. Okay? So that's where we are right now. So what's going to happen next? The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the truthfulness, amana, and kinship, raham, kinship with your family, will be dispatched and placed on the right and left of the sirat. Okay? It's very symbolic that it's there for. Why is it there for? What is it going to do? Is it going to help anybody or not? And how is this? Whatever type of physical feature, way it looks, it's going to be placed on the two levels there. Why is the Prophet talking about that for? Because these are one of the main things that will get you success on this bridge. Is how truthful you were in this world and how you took care of your family, your blood family, your relationship with them. Right? This relationship with your family benefits you so much. People should just specialize in fixing this in this world. Because it's only, you know, going to help you in this world and the hereafter, right? And then, first of you that will pass, those who pass over the bridge, will be like lightning, okay? And then the narrator said, oh, thou art far dearer to me than my father and mother. Which a thing is like the passing of lightning? So that's in the Prophet, how can something be like lightning? So the Prophet said, have you not seen lightning? How fast it passes and comes back with the twinkling of the eye. No one says twinkle of the eye anymore, but the blinking of eye, you know, just boom, lightning comes really quick. So people will just shoot across the bridge, those who are really righteous and have good deeds. We ask Allah to make us of those people. And then it says some will pass like wind, Some will be passing like a bird, like that's maybe not too fast, right? And the hastening of a person will be according to their deeds. So your speed on that day, you know, there's another hadith mentioned like horses and camels and stuff like this, right? Will be in terms according to your deeds, if you will. How would you pass that? I don't have the rest of the hadith here, but I'll go ahead and explain it. So those people who lost their light and or don't have much of it because they have don't have much good deeds. So the hypocrites are gone. Therefore, they fall down. They're pulled away because they're the worst of the worst. People that say they're Muslim, but then they attack Islam. Right? You say,
how is it the non-Muslim and the hypocrite before the same place?
No, okay, that's a great question. So we're going to go over right now. Some people are going to fall off this bridge. Everyone can anticipate that's going to happen. So there's a difference between entering Jahannam through its doors and falling off this bridge. Okay. Now, those who enter the Jahannam through the doors, those are non-Muslims that were ushered, those verses that we went over, they were pushed in. They go through the doors of Jahannam. When you go through the doors of Jahannam, they're locked, they don't ever open again. They're stuck there, right? And people never worship Allah, atheists, blah, 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 whoever. The hypocrites, I mentioned from the hadith, they're worse than the disbelievers because they actually fought Islam from within, which is even thinking more of, you know, treacherous, if you will. They go into a deeper part of Jahannam. Okay, what's left is just bad Muslims, right? Sinful Muslims. They will fall from the bridge into Jahannam. Now, that's different than going through the door of Jahannam. They'll fall into Jahannam. Okay? Those are those who fall into Jahannam. They're the ones where we're going back now, where the Prophet ﷺ will make intercession for those people. Oh Allah, bring them out. And the hadith goes over in a very long, lengthy hadith. That says that, oh Allah, bring out the ones that had the, you know, the iman as big as this, and they will be brought out. Oh Allah, bring out the ones that have the iman like this, and it will go all the way down to an Adam's mustard seed, as it will. And then those will finally come out of Jahannam.
But then it's not applicable to the hypocrites. I mean, that's the ones that you mentioned, like the little
sinful stuff.
Simple Muslims.
Yes. Not the hypocrites. Hypocrites are stuck there, because like, they're the worst of the worst. You know, because they're really just believers when you think about it. They just use Islam just to whatever, got them by in this world for political reasons or whatever reasons, right? But these are the ones that are just sinful, which, I'd say the word just sinful, that's it's a bad thing, right? So then the Prophet will bring them out. Now they're in Jahannam, okay? So here's some people saying it's the outskirts of Jahannam, it's part of Jahannam, it's not in the depths of Jahannam. So there's some details of this in the hadith. But nonetheless, nobody wants to come close to Jahannam, if you will. Okay. So they're in Jahannam, and then they'll come out from the dua the Prophet made. How long are they in there? Whatever, a minute, 2 days, 3 years, I don't know, right? Depending on their deeds. But eventually, Allah will accept, the intercession of the Prophet, and they'll come out. Now, it's mentioned that the last person will come out, they're more like charcoal, they're so burnt. And then they'll go to this river of hayat, of life, and it will wash them. And they will come out like, you know, with a tinge on their skin, right? So they're still kind of marked, if you will. Not marked to make fun of them, but they're a different level. And then Allah will tell them, go into Jannah. And I mentioned in the hadith, that's kind of funny. The Prophet actually laughed when he mentioned this hadith. That they'll go and they'll say, and they'll go in there, they'll find that all of Jannah is filled with different, how everyone's in their house already. So they'll go to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, there's no space for me. They said, go back again. And you'll go back again. And finally, it'll make it so wide for them. He'll finally find his space in there. Right? And finally, after he'll enter, if you will. It might be the lowest part of Jannah, but hey, if you get into the door, you get into the door, mashallah. You know what I mean? But you don't want to be that person to go to Jahannam. Nobody wants to smell Jahannam. Nobody wants to see it, if you will. Okay. So when we talk about the passing here, so these are the ones that are going to fall over. Now, you might ask me, when the judgment one goes over with the reckoning, some people already know they're going to go to Jahannam, who's Muslim. They know, I never prayed, I never paid zakat, yeah, I didn't go to Hajj, I talked bad about this person. Oh Allah, I believed in you. But you have so much like bad deeds. And they didn't get Allah's rahmah, for whatever reason. So they know that they're walking like, it's not going to be good news. And they come through the surah, they're like, there, yeah, this must be it, you know what I mean? So it's a lot of very suspenseful. So they pretty much know that they're going to fall over. And they have no light, so that's even worse. That's a strong indication. So these people already know, kind of know their faith, right? Now, they maybe not know the Prophet will make dua for them, you know, unless he took this class or someone took the class, whatever, right? But so they'll fall in that, and then they will finally be brought back out, like I mentioned, and they'll finally get into Jannah. They will be one of the last people that will get into Jannah, if you will, right? But still, they'll be like tinged. They'll show that they were in Jahannam beforehand, if you will. So that's mentioned there. So here we have the passing of the Sirat, right? We have all the believers, whatever, something goes as depending on their deeds. They finally get across, alhamdulillah, and then that is done, if you will. That process is done. And it's mentioned in another hadith that the first person to pass over is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the believers and so forth, and the prophets and stuff will go after that, if you will. Now what happens, you know what, I just wanted to go over this verse here. I think I have it in my notes. I think I'll put it in the slide here. It's a verse in Surah Maryam where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that everybody will pass over the Jahannam. Where is it at? Bismillah. Surah Hud, Surah Hadith.
Hey, can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
We know that there is a place called Araf, where the people will be like, right, who has like sins and good deeds are balanced.
Yeah. That's a great question. That's one I'm going to go over next week too, but you brought it up. That's a good thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Araf, chapter number 7 in the Quran, there will be individuals that have exactly equal good deeds. You're like, how can that happen? Like one more, just one more bad deed, one more good deed. But there's some people that have exactly good deeds and bad deeds. And there'll be a place called Araf, like, which really means like the high point, right? And they will be there, right? And those people, as Allah SWT mentions in the Quran and other places, that they're, Allah will give them, from His Rahmah, they'll enter Jannah, if you will, right? From their deeds, if you will. But they will see the people in Jannah and Jahannam, and there'll be a dialogue between them, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But that's a good point you brought up. Yeah, they have those individuals afterwards. Now, where are those people in terms of this Sirat? And where do they go? So here, I would assume that they would pass the Sirat. I'm about to get to another topic, and we'll see how that connects to a little bit. But they'll be after the Sirat, and then they'll be in between these two areas here until Allah finally pushes them over into Jannah. Now, where does that come into? I'll get back to this verse here now, since we're on another topic now. There's a place called the Qantara. Now, after the people, mentioned the hadith here, after the people went over the Sirat, they're like, alhamdulillah, Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. But there's one more stopping place. It's Jannah, right? You can't just get into it. You have to earn it even more and more, okay? So the Prophet calls something called the Qantara. What is a Qantara? If you've ever seen like those old like movies where there's castles, there's like a moat around the castle, like a water, and then have like a little bridge. So they always could pull the bridge and then the army can't get there. So Qantara literally means like a small bridge, not the Sirat, but a smaller bridge. And after people will pass the Sirat, there'll be one more stopping at this small little bridge before you go into Jannah. Okay. You're like, how much more bridges are there, right? No, it's the last one, inshallah ta'ala. Now, what is that there? What is the Qantara for? The Prophet ﷺ mentions that the Qantara is there for people to make their last arguments amongst each other. Now you're holding like, hold on, isn't that where the reckoning was, accountability, where people say, hey, you stole my money, hey, you stole... No, that is for major sins. Things that get you and go to Jahannam or stuff like that, where it says, hey, you stole my money, and you're like, no, you didn't. And Allah says, yeah, you did. And then give me your hasanat, and hasanat will be changed and so forth like that, okay? The Qantara is more for the hearts. What people say like, I remember what you did to me. Like, yeah, we settled, we already had the settlement already. I took your hasanat, right? And you know, you took my hasanat and you know, but I don't like you still, right? I remember what you did to my family. I remember what you did to this and blah, blah, blah. So people's hearts have issues. So the Qantara is a place where the Prophet said that people will finally settle those disagreements. And Allah will settle those disagreements. Now, why is that for? Because you could truly 100% think about that after the reckoning of deeds and people argue with each other. Yeah, you said this to me and yeah, you made fun of my mom or you made fun of my wife and my children. That people's hearts still are not at, you know, at are not content here, not tranquility. So here, when they finally get to this last bridge, because when you get to Jannah, there's no real, where Allah SWT says in Quran, there's no enmity in the hearts between people. You can't go to Jannah and argue with people. What are you here for? How did you make it? No, how did you make it? Oh man, you hope you're in the lowest level of Jannah. I hope you're this wouldn't work. That's not where Jannah is. That's Jahannam or this world, one of the two places, right? That's when people argue. So as Allah SWT says in Surah Shu'ara that what will help people is having a qalb as-salim, a sound heart. That will enter you, that'll be the best thing for you going to Jannah. So this is the last stopping where people will settle those issues. Allah will finally settle the hearts between people. So when they go to Jannah, there's no issues between people. No one's yelling at each other, no one's pointing at each other. Everyone's just having a good time. And that's something Allah SWT will take away from their hearts anyhow, any type of animosity, right? So nobody, you know, everyone has their share of palaces and who knows what's up there. So I don't think people will argue with each other. But this is the last thing before we get into Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. So this is the thing called the Qanqara. Let me go back over this verse here. So here we have this verse in Surah Maryam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, super big for you guys, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مُقَدِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when we talk about the passing of Jahannam, that there is none of you except that he will come to it. Believer, mu'min, right? Good deeds, bad deeds. No, none of you that will come to Jahannam. It's talking about Jahannam here. There is something, this is upon your Lord, an inevitable decree. Like 100, hatman yani. Like it's wajib. It's 100% going to happen. Everyone will come to Jahannam. Here it's talking about, this is kind of indicating about the sirat. That everyone has to pass over it, if they're now we've been ushered into it already. Now the question is that if you're a good believer, and you pass over like lightning, or like the speed of the wind or whatever, what is the purpose of you passing over Jahannam? That, you know, if you did a good thing, like, why do you want to, like, do you want, what, like you said, you hear the noise, the roaring of Jahannam, why would you want to even go over it? So the scholars mentioned that nobody would really appreciate Jannah or anything good unless you know the opposite of it, right? You wouldn't know sweet if you never taste bitter, right? You never know bitter until you know you taste something that's sweet. So hear that, yes, we won't go into Jahannam, but you will pass over it, and you will see that how you appreciate how much that you were saved from it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse over, and we'll save those who feared Allah, those who had taqwa, and leave the wrongdoers within it on their knees. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that yes, everyone will pass over it, which is a scary thing. Is not mentioned in the Quran by name, if you will, that we have. That's it, alhamdulillah. So that is the sirat, that is the qantara, we talked about it a little bit there. So the next thing that we're going to go over is the description of Jahannam. And that will start next week, inshallah ta'ala. And then we'll go over Jannah afterwards. So we'll probably take a couple more weeks to finish both of the issues there. Any questions or comments?
You still record it on YouTube, right?
Yeah, I think
because the next two or three times actually we are in Germany, inshallah.
Oh yeah, mashallah. Yeah.
So I don't know how the time works out.
You can watch it afterwards.
You have to watch it afterwards.
Or you mean Iceland too, right, or something like that?
No, after that,
yeah. Hadar Ali said he and Muwabbia could made up to that point. They would amend their differences. Oh, Muawiyah, sorry. That's probably more what you meant by that. Ibn Ali said if he and Muawiyah could make it up, probably to that point, they would amend their differences in the world. I never heard that. Maybe that is a saying from him, but I'm not too sure. Yeah, I would assume that would definitely be the case. There's two righteous Sahaba, obviously. Good. Any questions or comments from anyone here?
So we talked earlier about the split, you know, early on in the mentioned, I mean, obviously you were referring to the Sunni and Shia, right? I mean, what is the general belief about what happened to the Shia Muslim at the day of resurrection?
That's a great question. I've not seen anything that calls them out in particular. Now we do have like the Haud, we talked about those who innovated will be pushed away or they'll be taken away. That would be the argument of the Orthodox Muslims, yeah, about the Shia, that obviously we know their Salah is different.
Yeah. Pictures in the masjid.
Yeah, they have their Adhan is different. You know, orthodoxly they play three times a day, not the five, but the
Hajj,
three times a day.
So
there's a lot of that. Yeah. But at the same time also the Shia is also broken up into a bunch of different other groups. I mean the Ithna Ashariya, the Twelvers they call it.
Yeah.
They have 12 imams, they call the Twelvers. There's like the Seveners too, that have 70 imams too. There's a bunch of different groups. The Ibadiyya, the Ismailiyya.
They're still invited to it and participate in Hajj. I mean, they fast in Ramadan.
Yeah, they do.
They do the, I believe, Zakat, right?
Mm-hmm,
They do Shahada. So
right.
It's really...
It's hard to say. I mean...
Three times instead of five. Yeah,
I would... I could probably definitely go over that and see what the Orthodox imams usually will say about that. But it could...
For non, like even if you didn't consider this Shia versus Muslim, excuse me.
we already threw them out, right? You didn't even consider them. Look at you.
I feel like even within like Sunni groups, there is definitely innovation being played, and it's just like
True.
To what level is that considered like being
Kufa? Yeah. Like, that's great, brother Amir. For those at home hearing that, you've been seeing that in the Sunni groups that do a lot of innovation, where they're taking the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to a certain degree that probably shouldn't be at, and and other things they have, different type of worships they do. We all know different type of spinning around and chanting certain things, and then there's grave worshiping that a lot of groups do, and so on, all these kind of different things. So Allah Sallallahu guide us in the right path and keep us away from this type of things, make us to the group that cross the path like lightning, inshallah ta'ala, and safe from it. So if there's no questions or comments, inshallah ta'ala, at the end we'll the one question there. Any specific bid'ah can we?
Ibadah.
Ibadah. Everything was bid'ah just a while ago. Sorry. Any specific ibadah that we can do to have the nur on the Day of Judgment? Well, all the hadith that talks about it so far is a lot about what your wudu, right? And so that's the number one thing is to, we always talk about perfecting it. And there was a time where the Prophet saw a man, he was washing his feet, but he was barely putting water on his feet, going on very, very lightly. And he said, save your heels from the fire of Jahannam. Make sure you do it properly. And imagine the stuff that your hands and your feet, your face, your head, it's going to have light coming from it. And that's so, number one is to perfect your wudu, do it properly. And some scholars say, if you can keep yourself in wudu throughout the day, some people, can't necessarily do that. But nonetheless, that is the best thing. A lot of barakah in that. And then to go back to your question, it's this, I've not heard any hadith that says if you do so and so, it will protect you from the punishment of the sirat, it will give you more light on the sirat. But it also mentions in the Quran that people have light from the places of sujood. So once again, so we have your knees, you don't really wash your knees in wudu, but since you're on your knees, these are the points that touch the ground in sujood, right? You have your hands, your nose, your knees, and your feet, that this will come out and people will be known from the places of sujood, if you will. And so so definitely your salah, extra salah, nawafil, sunnah prayers, and then just good deeds in general. Remember right here, look what the Prophet said right here. Actually, the slide's right on the screen. The Prophet said truthfulness and kinship will be at the two sides of the sirat. So this, it's metaphorically talking about how important that it will help people on that day of judgment. So definitely, talk about ibadah. We think about certain things to say in certain prayers, but just, you know, be good to your family. You know, your brothers, your sisters, parents. People don't talk to their parents. You know, all these different type of things. Hold grudges from what they did when they're a child, and all type of stuff that's in people's hearts. And we're talking about trying to go to Jannah. That's where you're stopping at the Kantara. So the heart has to be clean. You know what I mean? People can't. So just try to work on that, Sister Leah. I think that's the best thing for all of us, inshallah ta'ala, is our family relationships, and try to forgive. We want Allah to forgive us on that day, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feek. We'll make dua. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Anta Salam, wa Minka Salam, Tabarakta Ya Dhul Jalal Ikram. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you to forgive us for our wrongdoings. Make us amongst the group that passes over the surah like lighting, Ya Kareem, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us of those that drink from the hawd of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, grant us your Jannah. Grant us your Jannah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Ghafoor. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بارك الله فيك. May Allah bless you guys. We'll see you next Sunday. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.